Hey guys, welcome back to the Don't Settle Squad podcast. Today, episode 11, Triggers Are Your Greatest Teachers. That's the topic we're going to go through today. So this episode is going to cover understanding what triggers actually are, how to turn these triggers into your greatest teachers, and this info is coming from a module in the Mental Freedom course. So if you're not aware of the Mental Freedom course, this is where we cultivate deeper self-awareness to skillfully navigate your own mind, and it is the key to adjust and refine the operating system that's running your life. Okay, so yeah, it's all about the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, and our lives are being run by the subconscious mind. If you're not aware of it, it's going to continue forever. So that's what we do in here. We dive in there, learn more about ourselves, get deeper self-awareness, which changes your life then going forward. So like on the triggers, we all know that feeling of being triggered. It's horrible. Nobody likes it. It can happen in work, in relationships, in any area of life, to be honest. And at least from my own experience, we usually just ignore it, let it kind of linger all day in the background, or else we just lash out at people when we're triggered. But like either way, it's disempowering. It's a disempowering to live your life that way when you're just getting triggered and you're being reactive to it. So unless we get the deeper self-awareness, you're never going to understand why it happens. You know, you're just going to keep repeating the same patterns in your life forever, in career, in relationships, same things coming up, same problems, and it's just going to continue. So once we actually see that our emotions, they're indicators of what we believe, we can start to dive into it, start to decipher why we're actually getting triggered. And we're going to cover all that today in this episode. So first thing, I'm going to break it up into two sections here. It's a very long topic, you know, I'm going to try and put as much as I can here into 10 or 15 minutes. So we'll just stick with 2 points. We're going to go through what actually is a trigger, because for most things, if we don't understand it, we're not going to be able to work on it. So what is a trigger? Second thing, then, how to analyze the triggers and turn them into our greatest teachers. So first section, what is a trigger? Very simply, it's an emotional reaction to a stimulus. Okay, so it's an emotional reaction to a stimulus. And if you're not aware of like stimulus and response, very useful to know. Basically, everything that's happening in our environment is a stimulus. Like your boss shouting at you, your partner giving out to you, whatever it is. Or, you know, world events like COVID and all these other things. These are like stimulus in our environment. And then we have our response to them. But the problem is that most of us, we're operating on autopilot because we're not self-aware and we just respond automatically and reactively in the same way to the stimulus. And then we blame the stimulus, where that's just a completely disempowering way to go about your life because we can't control the stimulus. That's the important point here. You can't control other people. We can't control the world. We can't control lockdowns. We can't control any of that stuff. But what can we control? Our own response to it. So that's where the power lies. You know, I'm big on empowerment, that's literally it. All the programs I do, it's try to put you in a more empowering position in your own life. So that's important to know once I say stimulus, just in case you didn't know it. It's about stimulus and response. So a trigger is an emotional reaction to a stimulus because we haven't learned how to create the gap between the external stimulus and our own response because we're not self-aware. So the second point on what triggers are, like, where do they come from? So they can come from like any previous events, experiences, memories from the past that have shaped our beliefs about us and the world. So like you could use the word trauma here. I don't like using the word trauma. I'm very specific on certain words that I use. Like, for example, the word impossible. I don't like that word either because it caps people's beliefs on what they can do. Oh, you're doing the splits, you're juggling, that's impossible. The truth is, as a kid, we could do nothing. So everything you've ever done in your life since a kid was once impossible to you, reading, walking, you know, riding a bike, doing your job, whatever. So do you see what I mean? It's just certain words just cap our beliefs. They give us disempowering beliefs. And I think trauma is one of them. That's my own opinion. We all have our own opinion on it. Didn't help me. Looking at it more through this lens does. So essentially, like the trauma, the people think the experience is trauma, but it's not. Okay, so the experience is the external stimulus. The trauma is actually your learned response to it. So your reaction to the experience and your beliefs now and your memories from that experience. That's what it is. So that's a better way to think of it, in my opinion, is that like trauma is a disproportionate reaction to something. It's like, oh, I get bit by a dog. Now I'm traumatized by that. So I run away from every dog I ever see again in my life. Like, dogs aren't trauma, you know, it's my reaction to the event and the experience that I had which you could say was traumatic. So like, if I keep the beliefs for the rest of my life that, you know, dogs are the issue, dogs are traumatic or whatever, that's going to be my life, you know. But obviously, if we're changing the beliefs, learn more about it, it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be afraid of dogs for the rest of your life. So that's where it can kind of come from, lots of different reasons. Call it trauma if you want. I'm just going more like events, experiences, memories, beliefs from the past, because you can change your beliefs. You know, it's not something that has to be there forever. So then, going a bit further on it, so we know it's emotional reaction to a stimulus. We know that it can come from our past, essentially, our past beliefs around the events that we had. Then why are we getting triggered? So I'll bring up two points here. One way we can get triggered is when people challenge our beliefs, because our beliefs become so ingrained in us, we're not actually even aware of them, but we have like deep beliefs in our subconscious. And if anyone attacks them, that's when we get triggered, because this belief is like our identity and we have to protect our identity. And for good reason. This is how the human brain has to navigate through the world. If like long held beliefs that we've had our whole life just get shattered, that's scary. Like that is scary. You know, we can think of things like, you know, when we're younger can be things like Santa. You know, we fully believe that Santa's true. Then you find out he isn't. And that's a bit kind of shattering. And then going further on could be things like politics, religion. Like if you were very religious, now you're not. Like that's a big belief change. And that's the one I can speak from. Used to be very, very religious. Not religious now. What will I be in the future? Who knows? But yeah, I still remember anytime anyone said anything against religion, very triggered, and I just block it out. I wouldn't even listen, you know. So like, this is what happens when we have deep beliefs in our subconscious. We get triggered when anyone challenges them, and no one's right or wrong. They're just beliefs, you know. Once you understand more about them, so that's one reason when people challenge our beliefs. Then second reason, this line from Carl Jung is great. So everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. So that basically means that when we get triggered by other people, it's a reflection on ourselves. So usually it can be things that we haven't accepted about ourselves, and we see it in other people. So this is like coming, if you're coming from the Carl Jung angle, it's called the shadow. So it's parts of myself that I have, but I've pushed it so far down because I'm judging myself for it and I'm shameful or guilty over it. So it's in the shadow. I can't see it. So now that I can't see it, now that I can't see it, I will notice that in other people, and I'll get triggered when they show that trait, and I'll give out to them. Which is it's mad when you come through it all. So what would be an example there? Like, yeah, actually, I had two examples here from myself. So my younger one here, selfish and cocky. There were two things that used to trigger me so much. So if anyone called me selfish, it actually happened in a relationship. Someone called me selfish for the first time ever. I was so triggered. I defended myself like crazy. I'm a great person. I only look after you, you know. And I'm not a selfish person and all this. And now I can see clearly, because I prided myself on being a nice, kind person, helping everyone else. And I hadn't accepted that there's a selfish part of me too. Just like there is in everyone. You know, it's once you realize all this, we have all parts of ourselves. We all have a humble part, you know, a cocky part. We all have a selfish part, a selfless part. But when we, you know, society and other people will help us, or, you know, when we get love for doing a certain or showing a certain part of ourselves, that's what we focus on. So again, I would have been shown love for being selfless, for being humble, and that's what I built my identity around and my beliefs around without noticing. So then anytime someone pointed out, oh, you're selfish, you're cocky, that would really trigger me, because I hadn't accepted those parts of myself. So like, once you come through it, it is a mad experience, but so freeing once you understand that yeah, a lot of the triggers that you're having, it's actually just a reflection on you, and it's parts of yourself that you haven't accepted or you're probably not even aware of. So moving on a bit forward then, yeah, we'll actually go into the second part now. That's already 10 minutes. We're going to the second part. So how to analyze triggers and turn them into your teachers. So I split this up into two points. So whenever you get triggered, you can learn something about yourself, and you can also learn something about how you want to treat other people. Okay, so you can instantly break it into two parts. So now, once you understand everything, well, there's not enough here, but once you understand this in more detail through the course, we'll say, every time you get triggered, you'll be at peace, because you know, I'm actually going to learn something from this. If you didn't get triggered, there's nothing to learn. But if you get triggered, there's something to learn. So I'm always going to learn something new about myself. more self-awareness, which is going to lead me to a more empowered life. And then on the other hand, I'm going to learn more about how I want to treat other people in terms like boundaries. So it's going to be a win-win. And that's what I believe now. That's what triggers are to me. They're my greatest teachers. They've taught me so much, and I'm not afraid of them anymore. And yeah, things that used to trigger me don't anymore. Or it could be 5% instead of 100%. So it's a totally different experience of life. So what does it mean to me? This is where we follow the trigger to gain deeper self-awareness. So there's actually a process that we do that in the course. I'm not going to go through it now because it's going to take way too long. But basically, your emotions are indicators of what you believe. Okay, that line was the start of change in my life when I seen that from a different coach who I ended up going to. Your emotions are indicators of what you believe. And it makes full sense when you actually break it down with some logic. How would people have different reactions to the same events? Like pick anything, you know, a person that you disagree on, someone likes them, someone doesn't, a world event that someone hates and someone's actually okay with. Like, again, it's going back to the external event and then the stimulus and the response. If we're all having different responses to different things, it's not about the thing, is it? It's about us. So, and why? It's because the emotions that you have are indicators of what you believe. And we all have different beliefs ingrained in us from our life in our unconscious. And if we don't bring them up, it's going to stay that way forever and we're never going to understand it. So there's a process to follow those triggers, follow the emotions all the way down to see what is it that I believe? What is the belief under the surface that's given me this emotion? Because think of it, even like breakups, this is going to be way too simplistic, but just a quick example. If someone breaks up with me and then I believe that they were the only one for me, how are you going to feel? Obviously, if the belief is they were the only one for me, what's the emotion going to be? It's going to be heartbreak. It's going to be longing for them. It's going to be all that stuff that we've all been through. But, you know, what if over time, through the work, a breakup means we weren't compatible. There's other people out there that are compatible for me. What are the emotions going to be? It's going to be different. You see, so that's just a simple example, which is too simple, but you get the idea. Like the beliefs are under the surface. That's like the seed under the ground. And the weeds or the flowers grown up, they're the emotions, but they can only actually come from the seed. So like our emotions can actually only be experienced through the lens of our own beliefs, which is mad because once you understand this, it really does change your life. So that's the first thing. We can do that. We can learn all about the beliefs under the surface, which are actually bringing up these triggers for us. Then when we learn how to do that, we can move to the next stage of actually refining and adjusting our beliefs towards the person that we want to be. And that will now change the trigger. We won't be triggered by them anymore. Okay, I'll give you an example here to round off this section. Let's say I get triggered by... Maybe we'll stick with the selfish one. I have a partner. They make a cup of tea and they don't make me a cup of tea, even though I was sitting here, we'll say. Then I'm like, oh, you're so selfish. That's actually what happened, except I was the one who forgot to make the tea. So there's an example of like, oh, you're selfish. Why didn't you make me a cup of tea? Whatever. Before, I just used to argue back, get so triggered or whatever. But now, let's say if that example happened again, I wouldn't get triggered because I would see that, oh, this is a reflection from that. You know, I could do the whole thing we're talking about here. I would see that it's a reflection of them, and I could also trace my own trigger down to see what I believe. But now, because I believe everyone has a selfish part of themselves and everyone has a kind part of themselves, I wouldn't get triggered by it. I might get triggered 5% instead of 100. So first of all, I wouldn't react. I wouldn't, you know, say something back as a reaction. And second of all, I'd have more empathy and understanding for them because I know why it's happening to them. So do you see there? So that situation wouldn't happen again. So that's the kind of a small basic example, but this is really what's happening in all areas of your life. So yeah, you're able to learn from these triggers, follow them the whole way down, see what you believe, and then from there, you can see, do I want to refine or adjust some of these beliefs, and we can get rid of the disempowering ones and start installing empowering ones that we want, so we can live the life that we want and interact with loved ones in the way that we want as well. So then, on the other side, what does it mean for them? So this is more about, like, how do I want to interact with others then when I get triggered? Because this is the other side of it, you know, of like, oh, you want to be a Zen Buddha, you just want to be there, not triggered, and like let people say whatever they want to you. That's not the way I want to live my life. You know, it's up to you, but that's only half the equation. In my opinion, it's like, yeah, you know, we need to learn all the stuff about ourselves, about our own past, learn that it's actually all a reflection of me. and yeah, gain the peace through that so that you're not reacting. But then on the other hand, you want to decide, like, how are you going to interact with other people? Like, you don't, for me at least, I don't want to just be that Zen Buddha and let everyone say whatever they want to me. It's no, I want to have certain boundaries, and the boundaries will be different for like partners, for friends, or just for random people on the street. So that's the way we break it up. We've done the stuff about ourselves. Then, you know, what does it mean for them? How do I want to react? Or I wouldn't say react, it's responding. Do you see the difference? It's not like trigger reaction. It's like, no, I understand what's happening. Now I'm going to decide how I want to respond. So the first thing that comes in here is that it's a reflection back at them. Okay, so that's what you need to understand first, that it's projection, it's not personal. And if you try to put yourself out there in any way, which I have done as a coach, you will see this over time, because I have literally put out a piece of content. Some people will say, that's so inspiring. And then other people will say, that's so cocky or arrogant. Again, it's proving what we've said. Like, it's obviously not about me, because the exact same story I put up, some people are really inspired by it. Other people are thinking that I'm cocky or arrogant. So again, it's reflections back on themselves. And we know, yeah, that it's about them. It's not, you know, it's not about me. So then once we know that, that helps us to be calm and not react and have to, you know, argue back. But then we can think how we want to react. And this is on your own personal beliefs and the person that you want to be in the world. So for me, when I thought a lot about this, you know, doing all the work, and I'm thinking, yeah, how do I want to react to people? It kind of falls into two categories of, like, we'll stick with, like, let's say Instagram, like haters on Instagram. You know, I'm either going to ignore them, or else I want to respond and hopefully they will learn something from it. That's my beliefs on it. That's how I respond to people. It's like, yeah, look, my page isn't that big. Let's say if you had 100,000 followers and I know and I've chatted to people who have this, yeah, you get haters like 10 a day. So like, it doesn't make sense to waste all your energy on it. So you just ignore them and you might pick out one every now and then. But for me, I'll get like one a month or something like that. So yeah, I'll ignore some of them. But other ones, then I'll actually write back to them. And you'll see here, coming from my beliefs, because some, you know, I'm okay with it now. I used to really struggle with this before that's what led me to all this type of work, is like get really triggered, really anxious, upset. You know, I had social anxiety for most of my life, didn't understand my brain, why I'm feeling these intense emotions. And then things like, yeah, my first ever haters nearly ended the journey for me, you know. So now that I know how tough it is, I want to actually stand up for other coaches coming through. Like even in the Lifestyle Design University, there were some people in there who have helped go from office jobs to coaches, just like I did. And they're just at that early stage, you know, which is tough. I've been there. It's not easy at all. Jesus, putting yourself out there and people just criticizing you. So I would actually write back to some of those haters for me, because it might deter them from doing it again. It, you know, probably won't, but for some of them it will. And I'd rather stand up to them, say what I wanted to say in terms of my own response, and then, yeah, hopefully, you know, it'll stop them doing it to as many people in the future. That's my hope. And I'd rather do that than just ignore everyone, and then they'll definitely go on and keep doing it. So I'll give you a little example of it, where obviously all the haters, it's a rude message. It's not like, oh, hey, because that's different. Look, I have other people, yeah, chatting to me every couple of months and stuff and giving me a bit of advice. And, oh, you know, I didn't really like this post, or I thought it'd be better if you do those posts. Cool, yeah, like there's respect there. There's just basic respect. And I can see they actually are trying to help me and give me advice. Yeah, I have great chats with people like that every week. But the haters are different. It's it's someone you've never talked to out of the blue. Do you know how self-absorbed you are? Or how can you talk like that? Or who are you to do this? And it's just, you know, it's a trigger from them. Trigger reaction from them. But it's very rude. And I won't obviously say what some of them are. But I'll give you one example of, actually, no, I can't even remember the specifics of it. But yeah, basically, like, I got a rude message. And then I would explain little pieces about it. And like, for example, the example I wanted to put in here was, I would ask them, is that how you interact with people that you want to help? Like, you show them no basic manners and you just disrespect them straight away. And it's, you know, it's just, it'll just get them to think, because it reflects it back on yourself. Like, you're not trying to help me. Do you know what I mean? And it's just, because that's my boundary. Like I said, you can think of what boundaries do you want to have for, you know, like family, friends, etc. And my boundary for people on the street, general people I don't know, and for me, online is the same. I don't know why we just treat it totally differently. If someone just walked up to me on the street and like abused me to my face, I wouldn't accept that. Like, it would be, maintain your distance. Look, I'm training martial arts. If it goes there, that's fine. I don't want it to. But, like, maintain your distance, keep walking or whatever. But I'm not just going to let someone come in and say all that stuff to me. That's not the life I'm going to live. So it's the same online. I'm not just going to accept, yeah, people just being completely rude to me. So that would be the reflection that I want to give back to them is, look, talk to people every day in here, giving me advice and stuff, but basic respect is the entry point to this and going from that angle. And as you'll see with most of them, most of them don't even write back, you know, because they see what's happened. And some obviously write back even worse stuff, and then the block comes. You know, there's no point getting into all those type of arguments. So hopefully that explains, like, it's not just about learning about yourself. That is the most important point. The triggers help you learn about yourself, gain deeper self-awareness. But on the other side, it also helps you decide, like, how you want to act with other people and what kind of boundaries you want to have. So that's pretty much it. Jesus, 20 minutes there. And then, like, when the triggers become the best teachers, it's so much more empowering because you're not afraid of triggers anymore. Now, look, will you still get triggered? Will you still be overwhelmed? Yes, but it's going to be lowered a lot. Like, my triggers now be so much less than they were before. Like, triggers could go on for me for weeks, for months, and be very intense, whereas now it'll be like maybe 5 or 10%, 20%, and it might only happen for like an hour or two. And then I can literally do what I've said. I can learn from it. Why did I get triggered? Learn about more about myself. Cool, that all makes sense. And then I'm also learning, like, how do I want to interact with other people in my life as well. So that's pretty much it. I'll add in the show notes here, so other relevant free resources. I have an article there on how to unlock deep self-awareness, a very detailed article on this type of stuff, going more into the beliefs, how it's running your life. And actually, yes, because I was just going to say, Kevin, the most recent sign up to the Mental Freedom course, literally replied to that article and said, man, like, that article made so much sense. It's what I've been looking for, and he signed up to the latest course. So that's actually what I wanted to say. I nearly forgot, excuse me, that the Mental Freedom course. So the current one is ending next week. It's next week, yeah, next Wednesday. So I'm going to start the next Mental Freedom course at the end of November. Okay, so it's 3rd of November now, putting this out. This will be out probably on Monday. So get on to me through Instagram or through the email that I'll link in the show notes as well. If you're interested in the next Mental Freedom course, just DM me and we'll have a chat about it, see if it's right for you. And you'll see all the other links there as well. You can read the article, How to Unlock Deep Self-Awareness, very detailed one there. And then in the three ways I can help you as well, you have the Physical Freedom Program, the Mental Freedom Course, and the Lifestyle Design University. You'll have the link there for the Mental Freedom Course too, if you want to learn more about it. So that's it. And then, yeah, in the follow and the contact, you have the Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn there, and the email. If you want to contact me, Instagram DM or through email is the best way. And I had a quick look at the stats, actually, then, because I'm getting back into the podcast. You can see people are listening, which is cool. Look, same from the start. If one person's listening, I'm going to do it for them, for the younger me. But I can see people are listening, which is cool. I would say follow as well. You know, I understand now why people are always asking for the follows, because there's a good few listens coming in, and I think there's only like 2 extra followers. So yeah, if you want to support me, that's what it's about too. Look, you'll definitely get all the episodes if you follow, but it helps support me and push the podcast up and get it out to more people, which is the whole point, trying to help as many people as we can. So that's it. A little bit of a longer one this week, but hopefully it was useful. So don't settle, and we'll see you next time.